Lord, there is so much. And I'm afraid the very thing we skip over is what we're going to need this week. While you're turning to Philippians 4, I want to read to you a verse out of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Think about that. That will keep him in perfect, complete, thorough peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Talking to the Lord, because we put our trust in him. Last week we went to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7 as our text. And he says in chapter 4 and verse number 7, and the what? Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, said with me, church, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The very place where the devil wants to cause trouble, my heart and my mind. God said there is a captain, a sentry, a guard, standing at the doorpost of my mind and my heart. And that guard, that doorman, that sentry, that umpire, that captain, hallelujah, is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In the book of Isaiah, he is predicting the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And in that wonderful chapter in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah gives us the fivefold title of Jesus Christ, which shows his power, his purpose, and his preeminence. Remember, Isaiah prophesied and he said this, and his name shall be called Wonderful. You say, why is that? Because Jesus is wonderful. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and remember number 5, and the Prince of Peace. And remember that word prince in the Bible means the chief one, the number one giver of peace. And he is the Prince of Peace. And we're going to enlarge on that tonight. And I don't want to get on that because I'll explode. But in that fivefold title, he is the Prince of Peace. Because of that, this morning, I believe I can say he's the peace bringer. I believe I can say this morning that he is the peace giver. I believe I can say this morning that he is the peace speaker. I believe I can say this morning that he is the peace maker. But what I'm interested today is this: he is the peace keeper. Somebody said, who's going to keep the peace in Afghanistan? Who's going to keep the peace in the world? Who's going to keep the peace in our cities? Who is going to keep the peace in our government, in our homes, and in our lives? I don't know about that, but I knew to this, that in the heart of every Christian that's been justified by faith, therefore he has peace with God. He can know God and walk with God, and the peace with God can become the peace of God. And I'll tell you, standing guard over our hearts and our minds is the prince, the captain, the doorman, the Prince of Peace. He not only speaks it, he not only brings it, he not only gives it, he not only makes it, but he is the keeper. He is the keeper of peace. And we dealt with that last week. But as I begin to enlarge upon chapter number 4, I found five truths that if we ever get a hold of, I call it God's peacekeeping force in your life and in mine. There are five wonderful truths in chapter 4 that if we ever get a hold of, in the midst of pandemic and pandemonium and panic, I'm glad there is something that will hold us and keep us. And by the way, when Paul writes this letter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is not on a Mediterranean or a Caribbean cruise. He is not on some bamboo-lined lounge chair drinking lemonade with somebody fanning him. When Paul writes this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is in prison. And can you imagine prison with no TV, no sanitary, no type of the semblance of civility whatsoever at all? The prison Paul found himself in most of the time was a dirty old hole in the ground with a cage on top of it. Filthy, nasty, cold, disease, rat, roach infested. A place of loneliness, a place of darkness. No R&R, no meals, no family, no friends. A place of work and heartache and misery and desertion and isolation. But yet it's from that dark hole in the ground. It's from that cold, dark, damp, rat, roach infested cell that Paul says, at the guard of my mind and standing guard over my heart is a sentry, and it's the peace of God. Not the absence of fear and trouble, but courage and rest and calm in the midst of trouble. I knew this, but I had forgotten it. So I looked up the original word peace, and man, I like to knock the back end of my choir robe out. The word translated peace literally means to bring a balance. To bring a balance. Picture this morning a scale. And you've got something on this side and something on that side, and you're trying to weigh it. Well, to get the proper weight, the needle has to be in the middle. So there has to be something on the other side of the object being weighed to bring it into a place of balance. Oh, can I tell you, I was out of balance. You say, what do you mean? I was way out of balance. Because God is holy, righteous, perfect, sovereign, omnipotent, eternal. And I'm lost, full of hell, sinful, wretched, miserable, and ought to be in hell when my back broke. But when I trusted the blood of Jesus, God brought balance. He brought peace. He put me on the right standing with God that he could talk to me and I could talk to him and we both understand each other. Honey, aren't you glad when your life was out of balance, Jesus stepped up on the other side of the scales and balanced it. Now we have a relationship with God. That word has another meaning. You walk into a potter's house, and the vessel has had cracks and imperfections in it. And so the potter smashes it and breaks it into a million pieces. But he reaches in the chaos, he reaches in the pieces, and he makes it again. He perfects it, he puts that back which was broken. Man, I want to tell you, our nerves, our mind, our hearts, our lives get shattered. But aren't you glad he is able to reach into the chaos and the pandemonium and the fear and the panic and bring something beautiful and put it all back together again? Hallelujah. I'm glad he puts it all back into its proper place, and that's peace. And has another meaning. It's a medical term. Let's say you've fallen and broken your arm or broken your leg. You go to the physician and he don't say, well, take 2 Tylenol and call me back. They only tell you that if you've got coronavirus. But he takes that bone and he sets it back in its proper place. So when it heals, you can't ever tell it was broken in the beginning. And boy, aren't you glad when fear and trouble and hurt breaks our heart and breaks our mind. Jesus, the great physician, restores unto us the joy of our salvation. And he puts it back together again. And it looks like we've never even been broken. That's peace. Oh, but when I got to this next meaning, I lost it. Brother Shane, I want you and Tom to come and help me here. And I know there's a pandemic, but we're going to share this microphone. Brother Shane, I'm going to begin singing, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, in one key. Whatever I sing in, I want you to sing with me as out of key as you can sing. Get a mic, boys. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. When the Tabernacle 3 do a concert, we do it right. Can you make us welcome this morning from South Atlanta, Georgia, the Tabernacle 3? And then I want you to join in and sing in another key. Neither one of you have any problem singing off key, bless God. I've heard you before. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, leaning on the everlasting arms. At the end of our concert today in the foyer, we have our t-shirts and our tennis shoes and our Jesus First bracelets and our new CD and an autographed picture. And who would want an autographed picture of somebody that, I know the Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that's exactly what you got, noise, but I didn't feel no joy in it. Now, I'm going to sing. You grab a part. You grab a part. You ready? What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, leaning on the everlasting arm. Yeah! That last word for peace was a musical term. And it's when harmony has been brought in. The word peace means to bring harmony and melodious music to where everybody is on the same page, in the same key, and the different parts have become one. Oh, I'm glad there's a song in my heart, and there's a shout in my soul, and there's a praise in my life, because when God guards and sentries and guides, He brings not confusion, not pandemonium, not discord, but He brings harmony. Well, glory, balance, harmony. That which is broken is put back together. I told you I wasn't going to finish. Look in the text. Five wonderful truths that keeps us from going crazy in a crazy world. Number one, verse number three, there is a position in which I can rejoice in. The last part of verse number three said, whose names are written or in the book of life. Oh, Brother Joe, in the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of a political upheaval, in the midst of death and sin and trouble and turmoil and confusion and bewilderment, what is God going to use in our life to harmonize and make us complete and guard our hearts and minds? Brother, my name is written in the book of life. I'm on heaven's roll. My name has been recorded. I'm a child of the King. I'm in the royal family. And brother, I'm glad my name is written there. And nothing will ever change the fact that my name is in the book of life. No person in this room that has ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior is going to walk into heaven one day and the bookkeeper say, I'm sorry, I've lost your name. No, your name will not be lost. It will not be misplaced or overlooked. And the devil ain't got the number to cancel by reservation. I had some friends of mine one time going to a conference. They made reservation at the Days Inn in Lakeland, Florida. And one of their friends, that's another friend of mine that's crazier than a sprayed roach, called down there the day before they went, disguised his voice, lied about it, told them they were so-and-so. They were canceling the reservations. So when my other two buddies got there at 1 o'clock in the morning, there was a sign that said, no room. Somebody had lied and played a trick. Now, here's how it backfired. They thought, well, there's plenty of motels, and so they'll go across town. They didn't know they were having some kind of shindig, and every hotel within 100 miles was booked. They had to drive another 4 hours just to spend the night. Needless to say, when they got back home, they had to go to Jesus meeting because somebody disguised and canceled the reservation. I want to tell you this morning, my name is in the book of life, and the world and the flesh and the devil ain't going to call up to heaven and say, Lord, my name's Joe Arthur. I'm canceling the reservation. No, I've got a place reserved in heaven. And in the midst of a world that's going apart and I'm about to lose it myself, I'm glad this truth comes to my heart. I'm a citizen of that country. I belong to Him. There is a record book and I know my name is there. There's a position in which I can rejoice. My name is in the book. Number two, look in verse number four. There is a praise that I can render. Paul says from his rat-infested, cold, dark prison cell, rejoice in the Lord always. Boy, I looked at the word always, and it means in and throughout all time. It means every step of the journey. It doesn't say rejoice about all things. It said rejoice in the Lord always. Do you realize this morning a Christian can have real joy and not even be happy? You know why? Because our happiness and our gladness and our joy is not derived through circumstances or health or wealth or money. Oh, but it's in the Lord. It is in the Lord. And I'm glad this morning in the midst of peril and pandemic and pandemonium, instead of losing it and going to pieces, there stands a guard and a sentry at my heart and at my mind. And I can just say, I don't feel a thing right now, but praise God anyhow. I don't understand what's going on in my life, but praise God anyhow. I don't even like the circumstances, but He loved me and He saved me and He's worthy. And I just want to say there's no better time than now to praise the Lord. There is a praise that we can render. I love to sing at church. I love to sing at the grocery store. I love to sing at Walmart. My favorite place is the airport. I like to do stuff like that right after they make this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, have your attention, please. Please report all suspicious activity. The other day, Brother Barry flew with me to the Mercy Vessel Share-a-thon, and I was waiting on him, and I had on my mask. Whoever thought we'd get on a plane? What a mask. I'll go to the bank with the mask on. I went to the bank the other day. I don't know if I was holding her up or she's holding me up. And before he got there, I had my mask and it just hit me. Oh, say that I'm... It didn't sound all that hot coming through that mask. Oh, say that I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say that I'm glad. Jesus is come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say that I'm glad. And this lady stopped and looked at me. I could tell her eyes was getting big over her mask. And I said, sister, they won't let me sing in church, so I got to sing at the airport. Well, she must have been a little Pentecostal because she went, hallelujah. I'm just glad to hear somebody sing. And me and that little black girl on Concourse A had us a shouting spell. But aren't you glad in the midst of this world that's reeling and rocking its way to hell, because our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a praise that we can render and glorify God and praise the Lord and say, hallelujah, understand it or not, God is always good. My name is in the book. Rejoice in the Lord always. Look at verse number 5. There's a presence I can remember. Notice what he said in verse 5. Let your moderation be known to all men. Say this last line out with me. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. What in the world does that biblical phrase mean? At hand. Well, a lot of times they would set the watchman upon the wall and they could see the enemy coming at a distance. But that's not the word. The word at hand means a hand's length away. He's not way out yonder thinking about coming. He's not way back over here thinking about blessing us. The Lord is at hand. Woo! The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He is not a million miles away. He is not trillion planet years away. He's not light years away. He's not even a state away, a county away. He's not even the width of this building away. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Hold out your hand, Shane, like that. Get up right beside him, see how long, who's got the longest hand here. There you go, arm, there you go. All right, guess what? The Lord is at hand, close enough to shake Shane's hand. The Lord is at hand, close enough to shake Raymond's hand. The Lord is at hand, close enough to shake Goober's hand. I'm telling you, no matter how short the hand, thank you guys, how long the hand, God is not planets away. He's not eons away. He's not sunsets away. He is at a hand. You say, well, how close is that? Try me right now by faith. Reach out your hand and say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. Jesus, I need you. That's what just happened. The sweet Holy Ghost stopped by your pew and grabbed you by the hand and said, come walk with me. Come walk with me. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will never forsake you. I will never desert you. I want to tell you, brother, in the prison, he's a hand's breadth away. On the mountain, he's a hand's breadth away. Out on the stormy sea, he's a hand breadth away. In the upper room, he's a hand breadth away. You say, where is God in my life? Wherever you are, God is there. Wherever you've been, God is there. And wherever you're going, he got there before you did. Aren't you glad? The Lord is at hand. Well, praise God. There's a presence. There's a praise. There's a position. I'm going to skip verse 11 on purpose and come back and dive in that after a while because it'd take a while. But go down to verse number 19. There's a provision I can rely on. Verse 19, but my God. Second week of March 2020. I left Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I walked in my house at 3:00 in the morning, and the world's never been the same. We watched for the last 18 months what the coronavirus and the pandemic's done to our families, our homes, the lives of people we love, our ministries, our churches. And I'm going to be honest with you, more than once I've wondered, oh God, how we're going to do this. One of my friends called me in the midst of all of that, the shutdown, said, Joe, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to figure out how to keep a church going with the door shut. Now, that's a legitimate question to me, isn't it, to you? And wondering, what's my family going to do? What's the church going to do? What's our missions going to do? What's our lives? What's going on? And then I'm reminded there's a doorkeeper. Brother Bill, there's a sentry. There's somebody guarding the door. Called the peace of God. And he said, I'm going to keep you with this. While you're rejoicing in the Lord. While you're glad your name's in the book of life. While you're enjoying my at-hand presence. I'm going to make you and your family and your ministry and everybody you know this promise. But my God, but your God shall supply all your need. Not out of, but according to. If you take something out of, there's less after it's been taken out of. Oh, but I'm glad God met your need and he's got as much as he had before he met it. And God's been faithful these 18 months and he's still faithful. He still got mercy. He still got grace. He still has peace. He still has victory. He still has joy. There is a provision that I can rely on that my God shall supply all of my need, not out of, but according to his riches and glory. In closing this morning, I did a little word study on that word. Supply. What in the world does that word supply mean? And as I began to trace the roots of that word, and I began to run this reference, and that, you know where it finally took me? It took me to Genesis 22. Where the first little seed of this word was planted to bloom into the word supply. And Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac are at the foot of the mountain. And he's built an altar. And he set the altar on fire. And Isaac, I believe he asked a legitimate question. Father, I see the wood, I see the fire, I see the knife. But usually when we do this, there's a lamb. There's a substitute. Father, I see the knife, I see the fire, I see the wood. But where is the lamb? And Abraham picked up the telescope of faith. Dialed it in. And said, son, no fear, no worry. God will provide himself. God will provide himself. God will do it himself. God will do it himself. He don't need you. He don't need me. He don't need a stimulus package. But my God shall supply. Shall provide. And that Hebrew word translated provide in that passage literally means see to it. God will see to it. Now, some of us that had the privilege of growing up in homes that English was our goal, but we never got there. We had a resemblance and a derivative. Words like him, over, jeet. You Yankees, it takes you all day to say something. Have you eaten yet? Jeet. Have you eaten yet? Jeet. Look how quick it. Heish. Whoa. Hee-haw. You ever seen this? Boy, that trash needs to be picked up in the yard. See to it. Boy, them leaves need to be raked. You better see to it. Son, them weeds is in my garden. See to it. That means get her done. I got to get on somebody's level. That means you make sure it happens. Make sure it happens. The need was a substitute. The need was a ram. The need was a lamb. And oh God. And Abraham said, son, God will see to it. He fed the birds today. He watered the flowers today. He hung the sun today. He polished the stars today. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. I don't know what all we need today, but I want to tell you the God of the Bible and the God that indwells and inhabits your redeemed, born-again soul. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. He'll make sure that it's accomplished. And that is exactly what happened in Genesis 22. That is exactly what happened. Abraham and Isaac are on this side. And in front of them is a mountain. And all they can see is a mountain. But what they didn't know on the other side where they can't see was a little ram. I don't know where he started and I don't know how long he walked, but one day God said, tangle up. And while that old ram, I'm about to have me a spell. He's in there trying to figure out how to get loose. He looks up and coming across the top of that hill is Abraham and his boy. Abraham and Isaac can't see the ram. The ram can't see Abraham and Isaac. But from where God sits, he sees to it and he takes the problem in one hand, the solution in the other hand, and they meet at a place called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord has seen to it. Can I just say, you can't beat a God like that? You can't improve upon a Savior like that. Boy, there's been times in my journey, Brother Cato, all I see was a mountain so high and a mountain so tall. I'm going, God, I can't go under it and I can't go through it and I can't go around it. And God says, trust me, we're going to go to the top, because on the top of the mountain, on the other side where you've never been, there's joy, there's victory, there's provision, there's answered prayer. There is a God that's watching your life, who watches every turn of your life, and he will see to it. That's what keeps the peace. A position. My name's in the book. A praise. Rejoice in the Lord. Well, glory. A presence. The Lord is at hand. A provision. God will see to it. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for Abraham, Paul, Hebrew children, Daniel, Noah. He'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll provide for you. It is no secret what God can do. I'm glad he's the peacekeeper. Our Heavenly Father, we love you this morning.